So Hebrews 11, we're going to read verses 23 to 25. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just pray your blessing upon us as we learn from it this morning. We just thank you for the example of Moses' mother, and we just pray that there's much that we can learn from that example. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so today is a day in which we honor our mothers, and in doing so we're fulfilling the fifth commandment, and obviously it isn't something where we honor our mothers this day and then the rest of our 364 days of the year we don't have to. It's more designed that, yes, we need to be reminded this is something that we need to do. And as we do so, we value the contributions they made to our lives, all the things that they endured for us, the sacrifices they made for us, and we realize that we are in many ways where we are because of their influence upon us. And so in this day we honor not only our mothers but motherhood as well, and if you hear that are mothers, I want to share some principles from God's word which I hope can be an encouragement to you, because being a mother is a position of tremendous influence upon the life of a child. It helps to shape who that child will become, and I think for any mother, the desire is that their child, when they reach adulthood, is going to turn out all right. That they're going to make good decisions. They're going to make wise choices. That they're going to become productive. They're going to be responsible. And your hope really is that you raise a child that's going to make a difference in the world, and a difference for good. I think that would be the desire of any parent, is you want to see that. You want to see them succeed. You want them in some ways to go farther than you would even expect. And especially the influence and the effect that they have on their community, on their country, on the world as a whole. You would desire and delight in finding out of just what they were able to do, and you say, well, that's my son, that's my daughter, and we can be so thankful for what happened. But of course, nowadays we realize there's so many concerns we can have, and of course we don't want to say it as concerns and not as worries, because we know worrying is a sin. But there's a lot of things out there that we think, well, when my child, when they get to a certain age, there's so many different influences, bad influences that we see around them, so much in this world that is basically bombarding them to deny God, to deny God's ways, and to cast them aside and just pursue after pleasure, pursue after what we recognize to be vanity and vexation of spirit. And so it's our question, well, what can we do against such an onslaught to try to prepare our children, to ensure that they're going to turn out right, turn out the way that we want, and that instead of being influenced by forces around them for evil, that instead that they could be an influence to the world around them for good. And so as we want to consider that this morning, I want to focus upon one mother whose son we find was able to resist wrong influences, who we find chose well, and a son who ended up making a tremendous impact on his generation. And what is so very surprising is that she had a very short time with her son, but yet the influence that she had upon him stuck with him throughout the rest of his life. And the individual that we speak of, she's not mentioned even by name in this verse that we looked at in Hebrews chapter 11. She's actually in the passage that specifically speaks of her story. She's not mentioned by name there either. We actually find later, you've got to kind of thumb through some of the genealogies that are found in some of the later books of the Pentateuch, that you actually find her name is Jochebed. And she was Moses' mother. She was mother as well to Aaron and to Miriam. But she's spoken here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, together with her husband. And it says, by faith Moses, and of course we see other verses here beginning in that same way, by faith Moses, but we realize that it's speaking of his parents. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And so we understand the context of this, of course, that Moses' family was born into slavery in Egypt, that they had come there to Egypt in the days of Joseph during the great time of famine to be delivered, to be rescued. And because Joseph had made such a tremendous contribution to preserving life, to ensuring that Egypt was prepared to pass through the 7 years of famine, that they were welcomed in, they were given a place to live, and they were looked at just as people that were sojourners, but they were welcome to be there. But after a time, there arose a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, that had forgotten of what he had done for the country of Egypt. And he began to view the children of Israel as being a threat to him. He became really kind of paranoid that they were going to rise up against him. And so he decided that he would subjugate them, that he would make them slaves and burden them with toil for the whether it's various building projects that they had in Egypt. And of course, he further was concerned because they were seemed to be having many children and becoming bigger and bigger of an entity. And he was worried, okay, well, if they have too many, that then they'll really be a force to contend with and be more of a threat to revolt. And really, you think about it, if he would have just thought, maybe I should treat them better, and then there's not going to be any chance they're going to revolt. But no, he thought, okay, well, they're going to be a danger, so now I'm going to make a decree that all their male children that they have, they need to be drowned in the Nile. And that was his proclamation that he made. And he was, and we see, it seemed that he was sending out soldiers to try to find children, if they could detect even the crying of a baby, that they would find that child and put them to death if it was a male child. And again, it's, you really think of how counterproductive his whole mindset was, because if they were bondmen, you would think certainly male children would be able to accomplish much more as slaves than the women children, but again, he wasn't really thinking in terms of anything sensible or decent or honorable. But we pick up the narrative of this in Exodus chapter 2, if you turn there with me. Exodus chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, it says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when he could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed with slime with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And we find this, that as it says there in Hebrews, that by faith Moses was hid of his parents for 3 months. And it says they weren't afraid of the king commandment. They know that disobeying could mean punishment not just for them, or just for their child, but for them as well. They had another child, Aaron, that was older, that perhaps they could have enacted punishment upon him if they were caught. But we see they weren't afraid, and it was by faith that they were their parents that were guided by their faith in God. They knew it wasn't right. They knew that God had given them this child, and they were cherishing that life, and they were willing to endanger their own selves for that child's sake. But of course, at a certain point, the child could not be kept quiet anymore, so they had to find another way, and so she made this this ark, this this basket of bulrushes. She tarred it up so that it was waterproof. She had her child therein, and by the flags, or basically the bulrushes by the side of the River Nile, she had her child hid there, and his big sister was watching her. And we see what happens with this, and all of it we recognize to be providential, of God working something out that in the moment might have seemed to be a bad thing, but actually surprisingly ends up being a very good thing. At the beginning of verse 5, it says, "The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." And so we see that his sister that was watching, and I don't believe she failed to watch the child, but she was just probably hiding back. But then she saw what had happened. She's very quick thinking. And so she ran to the daughter of Pharaoh and said, "Would you want a woman of the Hebrews to look after this child for thee, to nurse it?" And so she's sure. And so, of course, sister quickly went to her mom and brought her along. And so here we find that where at one point, as a mother, she was endangering herself by keeping her son alive and kind of trying to fly under the radar, could have got herself into a lot of trouble, that now her child is protected, and she's actually getting paid to be a mom for her own child. And so it's really amazing how it happened. And so for some time, and we don't exactly know how long, we recognize in that culture of that time, they certainly, it was usually a bit longer that they nursed a child, and so we don't know exactly, but we're thinking probably at the very, very most, the child Moses might have been maybe 4 years old. And then once the child was of a certain age, was weaned of his mother, then we see in verse 10, "The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" And so we see that she had a very short time with her son, that she took care of him, but it was really at most 4 years at the beginning of his life where she was with him. And once he was of a certain age, then she had to give him up, and he became instead not her son anymore by law. She was now Pharaoh's daughter's adopted son, and that's what he came to be known as. And so we see this one who was born a slave now has really his whole life has changed around, that now he is part of the royal family, that he's been adopted into this home of Pharaoh's daughter, that he now gets to, instead of being having a life of bondage and toil and suffering, that now he gets to live a life of luxury. He has a tremendous opportunity for education. That instead of being a servant that would wait upon others, he is a master who has many servants around him. That he has will have need for nothing. And in many ways, you would think that potentially he could be part of the royal line. We don't exactly know in terms of with this Pharaoh what the line of succession was, but we see that certainly he was could be remain in the place of royalty, and perhaps as things happened, he may have even possibly, if he had kept on that way, he could have eventually one day been Pharaoh. We just don't know that for sure. But we find something very strange happening, something very unexpected. And we read of that in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect of the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." That from our standards we would think this doesn't make a lot of sense. That why, when he was older, after enjoying such luxury, enjoying such blessedness in many ways, when he became a man, when he said, "I am not the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, I am the son of a slave," why would he do that? Why would he, having experienced such luxury, instead choose to suffer affliction with the people of God? Why would he put himself in that position where he was set free, that to instead subject himself to that? And that he enjoyed the treasures of Egypt, but he turned away from that, and he would instead esteem the reproach of Christ something greater. And even though that there would be wrath upon him, it says he didn't fear the wrath of the king, that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That we see that he became a great man of faith. And that faith that he had was passed down from his parents and from his mother especially. That they didn't fear the king's commandment, and neither did their son fear the wrath of the king. That we see that this has been passed on. And, of course, the more we know of his life, that he eventually became the man who would lead his people out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt towards the promised land. And it's just an incredible thing, and we wonder, how could that happen? And how could, in those brief, at most, 4 years, his mother Jochebed able to pass things along to him so that it would make such a difference. And as we consider that, we want to realize that the reason why she had such an impact is because very much so she must have made the most of the time that she had. And we see various principles in the scriptures. We think of, it says in Proverbs 22 verse 6, where it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." We think of how in Isaiah 28, verses 9 and 10, where it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." And we think in terms of just in Jochebed's situation, she had so much to teach her child in such a short time. And she knew she couldn't give it to him all at once. It had to be a bit at a time, day by day, over and over again, repetitively. And we see as well, it's in Exodus chapter 6, or not Exodus, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And it's very significant that Moses is the one speaking these words, because I think becomes very clear that this is what he would have experienced in his own home under the tutelage of his mother. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That she had a very short time, but she made the most of it. Every opportunity she had, we see that she taught him about the Lord and the ways of God. That he was a child that could see him that was invisible. That he was able to see things see things just by the material and focus on that, but he could see beyond that to the spiritual. He could see past the temporal to what was eternal. He could recognize what was truly of value. And he had a faith that even though they had so much reason to give it up and to pursue after the things of this world, he chose instead to identify with his mother and with her faith, and to continue on in that faith and one day lead her people out of slavery into freedom. And so as we think of Jochebed's example, it is something that I want to be encouragement to each of you here, that our mothers, with that thought, that the time that you have with your children is short. And yes, you may have much more time in a way than Jochebed did, but we realize how quickly, and I think in our day and age it becomes even more and more quickly, how our children can get exposed to many evil influences that can lead them astray. And we realize that they need to be prepared. They need to be made ready. They need to know right and wrong. They need to know to follow it no matter what. They need to learn to be able, as Moses did, to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, to be willing to rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. We need them to have that faith in God, that they see the one that's invisible, and they value his approval more than anyone else's. And so it's the key that as we have the opportunity to mold the life of our children, is that we make the most of the time that we have. That we make the seconds count. That we want to focus on the moments. And as we focus, we make the most of the moments, that's what's going to make motherhood momentous. Momentous is the idea of being where it has long-ranging consequences. It makes a difference. And motherhood is made momentous as we make the most of the moments of motherhood. And so we spend that time. And it's something that we can even think, if we get to a point where we say, well, my children are grown, what can I do now? What influence I can have? We want to realize you have that relationship, that exclusive relationship as a mother to your children. You want to realize there's still time. There's still opportunities where you can make a tremendous influence. And you want to think of that. You think of the testimony in Timothy of his life, of how Paul spoke of he saw the faith that was in him, but he saw it first in his grandmother, And then secondly, in Timothy's mother. And then he saw that it was him. There was something that they passed down faithfully. And he testified of him that he was to continue in the things he'd learned and been assured of, knowing of whom he'd learned them, his mother and his grandmother, and that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which enable him wiseness and salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so Timothy is an example of that as well, of just seeing of how the influence that they had and making a difference. And there's many others we can think of as well. Samuel is another example. But we think of that, of mothers who made a tremendous, momentous difference in their children's lives, and their children in turn made a momentous difference in the world around them. That it came as they made the most of the moments that they had to train their children in the ways of the Lord. And so my encouragement is to you that as you seek to minister your children, to deepen your own relationship with the Lord, and as you do so, to teach them how to pray, teach them how to walk with the Lord. And it does take time. It's precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. But it's the thing. It's just as sowing good seed that it's going to bear fruit in time. And the more seed we sow, the more fruit will come in time to come. And so may the Lord be a help to each of you here as mothers with the influence you have, and to all of us as well, that we would make the most of those moments that we have to help others to know the Lord and walk with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word and for this time, and we just pray You would help the work and labor of love that we each seek to do for our children and those we have influence over, that it may You may bless it, and that we might see great things accomplished through our children by Your power as they learn to walk with You as well. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one last hymn, number 299.